Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
我想作为残疾人基本权利的保障。
I think that the most important way of guaranteeing the rights and interests of people with disabilities is to raise awareness so that disabled people themselves are aware of their legal and social rights. China has a law called the Disabled Persons Protection Law that was introduced in 1999. Its implementation has been problematic, and the main reason for that is that disabled people themselves haven't been aware enough of their rights and haven't been involved enough in the process of law implementation.
Mr. Chen, as you make disabled people aware of their rights, how responsive is the government in your experience?
怎么说呢？我觉得政府当然是。
I think that the Chinese government is trying to avoid as much trouble as possible. So if it can get away by doing one thing instead of doing eight things, it'll choose to do the one thing. It's not that aware of disability rights as such, but it's trying to avoid any sort of trouble. So the Chinese government has introduced certain measures to try and improve the lives of disabled people and to realize their rights. But unless disabled people themselves become aware of their rights and engage in that process, then the government isn't going to take very much positive action.
Chen Guancheng, is your blindness something that makes you more radical, a tougher opponent?
I think it's important for everybody to request the highest standards from the government. And it's not necessarily because I'm a blind person that I take a particularly active or particularly progressive view on this. I think it's the responsibility of everybody to do that. And I think that all people should be involved in greater justice in society and requiring the government to live up to its promises to enforce justice and the law.
But
do you remember the first person who told you, no, you can't do that because you're blind? Who were they and what did you tell them?
I've encountered that sort of thing on many occasions. I can't mention any particular person who told me that I wouldn't come to the United States, but certainly there were many people who told me that as a blind person, I needed constant support and help and that I couldn't be independent and live on my own. And I think it's very important that I can be independent and I can do things for myself.
You know, Americans like to think of this place as the land of the free. Have you found it to be some Elysian field, some paradise for people with disabilities here in New York?
I
would say that there's another phrase that there isn't the best, there's only better, and everything in that way is relative. So we can strive to improve things in any situation at any particular period in time. We can always make improvements. Having come to New York, I've found that there are many problems, that New York isn't perfect in terms of accessibility. For example, for wheelchair users, very often the raised pavements or the slopes provided for wheelchairs are not perfect, and there are still obstacles. So I think much more can be done to improve it.
Susan, what do you envision as the possible collaboration between Chen Guangcheng, the issues that he's raised here, and disability advocates here in the land of the free?
I'm very excited to hear how Mr. Chen poses the challenges of achieving disability rights. We here are only too aware of the need to move further in the enforcement and implementation of disability rights. We see people with disabilities here more likely to be living in poverty, facing barriers in education, worse outcomes and barriers to employment, to housing, to health care. All of these areas that are so critical to all of our lives show us that we are not yet equal, we are not yet fully integrated in society, we still face stigma. But I see an incredible opportunity here to understand how these challenges are being addressed by activists all over the world. This is one of the most important things that we can do as disability activists, is to understand what we have in common with people across the world.
对，当然，我刚才说过。
I would agree with you. It's very important that disabled people's rights have to be enforced and have to be protected by disabled people themselves by being involved in that process. I would say that even if we have very good laws, that implementation is a problem, and that's to do with the efficiency of implementation. And as disabled people, we have to be actively involved in making sure that laws are implemented. That's all part of creating a more equal, a more just, a more civilized society, and we can all be part of that process.
If I might, I think that people with disabilities are often the canary in the coal mine. And when a system isn't working in a way that recognizes the diversity of the community, it isn't working for people with disabilities. And so as we look at the outcomes we're able to achieve as people with disabilities, we are able to recognize where the systems can be improved.
It doesn't work for anybody if it doesn't work for the most vulnerable populations, I guess is the point.
对，残疾人是社会的一面镜子。
Disabled people are like a mirror to society, and if we hold up the mirror of disability to society, we can see whether society itself is disabled or not. Disabled people do indeed face a lot of problems and obstacles which maybe people without disabilities don't, and life can be very inconvenient. But all those inconveniences can be remedied through fairly simple means. And so it's very important to take an active role in reducing those differences between people. And disabled people can be an important part of that process.
Let's hold on that for a moment. Let's hold that mirror up, if we could, because it really takes someone walking away from their fear to take action and to advocate for themselves. Who, Mr. Chen, have you convinced to no longer be afraid, to actually step up and make their rights a reality?
It's not so much a matter of actually convincing people through talking to them. It's a matter of acting and being an example to other people. So through our own action, we can show that we can bring about change. And that then encourages many, many people, a great group of people, to be involved in this process and increase their efficiency to bring about genuine change.
Although, if you will, I'm going to push you on this, counselor. Tell me the name of a client who you know has changed because of your advocacy. And I don't doubt that there is one, but give me a face, give me a name.
There are many examples of people who have been influenced by our work in the past, but I can give one particular example. When I was working on helping people to access the right to tax exemption, there was a law at that time which said that disabled people weren't to be subject to agricultural tax, but it wasn't being properly implemented. I worked with one particular case, somebody who didn't have the courage to take their case to the courts, but we worked with him. He took his case to the court and eventually won the case against the local government and got a tax rebate, so wasn't forced any longer to pay tax as a disabled person. Now, that one example has encouraged many other people to follow and access their rights.
Susan, a comment, and then we've got a couple before we go.
Here our approach is much the same. We, as people with disabilities, lead by example. We develop self-advocacy skills. We develop advocacy skills to change systems. And we teach each other how to engage on issues and how to achieve victories. We work collectively to change the way laws work, to change the way systems work, and to change the way people's minds work. Part of the change that is most important is teaching people with disabilities that through advocacy we can succeed, and then teaching the skills to make that possible. And so that is at the core of what we do here in New York.
Winning is a plausible outcome.
Yes, it is.
That's the lesson.
嗯嗯，对，是这个可能。
Of course, the difference is that in America, it's very possible for you to organize and to get together to take collective action. In China, that's very dangerous and people are very frightened to do that. So apart from solving some of the problems of our work, we also have to solve the problems of the environment that we live in.
So let's get down to basics here. Why is it that you make the Chinese government so mad? And are they going to let you go back home and continue this work?
I think going back to China is inevitable. It's just a question of when, and I can't say exactly what time it will be. I think there are many issues which happen in different ways, and it depends really how we look at them. We can have our own approach to it. Some things which may seem good when they happen to us may seem bad when they happen to others. So it's all a question of angle. And I think what's most important is to make the authorities, to make the Chinese government aware that there are problems. Very often, the government simply wants to ignore those problems. I think people like us who are involved in rights action have raised certain issues which make the government feel very uncomfortable. And that has made them very angry.
You know, a lot of people listening to this may say, all right, fine. So we get some taxes removed from people with disabilities. We get them some access to jobs. How does this inform or change the human rights struggle for people being tortured, for people imprisoned improperly, for people who are rounded up and detained, raped and never heard from again? How does this help that?
I think using the processes of law and litigation is very important in all fields. We've been involved in many different cases, including ones such as you describe in the past. And I think whether it's involved with disabled people accessing their basic rights to a better life, whether it's more serious cases than that, I think using the same process of law is equally important.
Jonathan Fenby, the journalist in China, had this question for you, Chen. I want to read it. I'll paraphrase here. He wanted to know more than anything, if you think you've made a difference because of what's happened over the last few months, do you think lawyers will be able to evoke the Constitution, or will local authorities in China continue this Wild West attitude and be able to take matters into their own hands? Any evidence of change?
I think the role of lawyers in promoting implementation of the Constitution is absolutely essential and can't be denied. Of course, there are cases that will succeed and there are many cases that have failed. The cases that have failed are often because of other factors beyond the control of the lawyers. But I think that doesn't deny the fact that lawyers play a very, very important role in realizing the implementation of the Constitution.
Do you think, Mr. Chen, that the United States should immediately ratify the United Nations International Convention on the Rights of the Disabled? And would you urge Senator John Kerry to take it up in his committee in the Senate?
I think for a country as important as America, ratifying the CRPD, the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, is a very important part of America's role in the world. The US should be involved in human rights causes around the world. And I think it's very important that senators and people in the government should be involved in promoting America's ratification of the convention. But I haven't been in the United States for very long, so I don't entirely understand the process. What is the reason that the US hasn't yet ratified? Is it just a question of inefficiency, or are there genuine obstacles to ratification?
Mr. Chen, many people are asking this precise question. I don't have an answer for you. China, Beijing, Washington, they have some things in common, maybe.
I think all countries have something in common. So it's very important that disabled people from all over the world do unite together to promote these rights and to find our common causes, find the things that bring us together and unite us, and find the most positive things which bring us together.